The episode you're about to hear was recorded about 2 weeks ago. Now, if you're up on your current gaming news, then you know that Gen Con, as of, I believe, Monday of this week, was officially canceled. But at the time we recorded this episode, Gen Con was not yet canceled, and we were simply operating off of some rather interesting insider tidbits we got. And I was originally thinking that I was just going to skip this episode and not release it, since its contents have become a bit irrelevant and dated. But some people said they still wanted to hear what we were discussing, so I'm going to go ahead and release it. But once again, just wanted to let you guys know that, yes, we are aware Gen Con is canceled. This was just recorded before that announcement was made. Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
This is Laura.
My name's Chad.
And I'm Brodor.
All right. So first thing I'm going to throw out there is I'm going to put a link in the show notes again to Fear the Con Online, the 2020 event. Wayne is working quite actively on Kickstarter to make sure that we get everybody's backer rewards resolved in a way that is both to their satisfaction and also within our capability to deliver. And if he is not already, he will be soon reaching out to everyone that backed for the I want to be in a particular game, and we'll be working then to make sure that your game is to the best of our ability. If you choose to do it online during the online con, it will be in a time slot that you are available for. But please do go out to the website that I link in the show notes and make sure you're at least getting signed up for your games. And GMs, if you're creating a game, one of the things that we are really asking is please put somewhere in the description of the game the technology you're going to use to run the game. So if people need to have a Roll20 account or Fantasy Grounds or Virtual Tabletop or whatever it is you're going to use, please do note that in the description. All right, so with that bit out of the way, Brodor, you've got some interesting news.
So I've been doing a lot of research and networking for my new business endeavor, right? And so if the listeners haven't checked it out, just go to goinfo.org and read my bit about Gen Con 2020. This is a follow-up to that particular blog piece that I dropped last Friday.
I'll link that in the show notes for
you. Thanks, Dan.
You're welcome.
So I can stand on this, so I can ride the coattails. Your coattails need a little steering wheel. Not one that actually directs you, but like a shopping cart.
With a little beep-beep.
Like a little shopping cart that we would have at the grocery store. So I can just sit on your coattails and sit a little wheel. That it's old and rickety and it squeaks, but it's cute.
You just want to be like Maggie Simpson?
I don't know. I just want you to, be my sugar daddy. Take care of
me. Okay. Well, occasionally fart on you.
But anyway,
it's like a coattails. He's down in that level. Yeah.
I had a very long conversation with somebody who works inside the gaming industry, who happens to be a vendor who has vended multiple times at Gen Con and happens to be on. Basically, they're an influential person, and having a booth at Gen Con is important to their business. Now, I know that Gen Con has reached out to, from my sources, multiple businesses who Gen Con is an important part of their yearly take as vendors. And so they're reaching out to different people, and we could probably speculate that, you know, it's not places like WotC. If there's no Gen Con, Wizards of the Coast is going to be fine. We're still going to have Dungeons and Dragons, right?
But there's no way, and this is without saying anything about Brodor's source, because I've actually already forgotten the name, but you know that Gen Con is having conversations with Paizo, with Games Workshop, with Catalyst.
Right.
There's no way they're not having these conversations, because Gen Con and their business are so intermingled. Mm-hmm. You know, it's both a big time to sell and to market for the vendors. And Gen Con, of course, also relies on vendor presence to draw fans and audience.
Right. Well, apparently Gen Con has a 3-question list that they've been asking specific, or what they're calling, or what I'm calling, key vendors. And the first one is your business going to survive without Gen Con? If we don't have the convention this year, is that going to force you to shut your doors?
Yeah,
question one.
And we're not going to name the source.
No.
But as Brodor said, this is someone with direct knowledge of these communications who has received one of these questions.
Actually received all three questions.
Well, I'm sorry, yeah. I meant questionnaire, yeah. not question. Yeah. And so, once again, we're not going to name anybody, right. but this is pretty reliable information.
It is. The second thing was that, okay, so you're not going to close your doors if we don't have Gen Con. Long term, how negative an impact is that going to have on your business? So if we don't have Gen Con, you're not going to close today or tomorrow or next week, but 6 months from now without a Gen Con, what does that mean for your product sales? Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of companies out there, and this is not the source to whom I spoke, but there are a number of companies out there that make 4, 5, 6 months, maybe more than that, of their annual gross in sales in that 4-day convention.
Right.
So it's a big deal to a lot of people, particularly smaller vendors. But the other issue is they said, hey, okay, so no Gen Con, you don't close your doors. No Gen Con, your business does okay. Do you need a refund? Or are you willing to roll over your vendor fees until next year? Can we just hold on to that money until 2021? Is that cool? Which then really made me wonder. And it just shows what a fucking noob I am, right? And I hate that word, right? I think if Aisha should bleep any word, it should be noob. But what an idiot I am for not thinking about Gen Con itself as the event, right? Because it's a 4-day convention that supports a year-round staff.
Yeah, it's not a charity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they could be not decimated. They could be really, really hurt if this doesn't happen, specifically if they have to start giving people their money back.
Yeah.
So I think Wayne was spot on when we were communicating, and Wayne said, look, they're waiting for the governor to say no Gen Con, because then the convention does not have to give you your money back because it was canceled by the state, not by them. So a lot of people are speculating that it's a waiting game. Now, the person to whom I spoke today is like most people in thinking that we're looking at a 99% certainty that Gen Con is canceled. I still disagree with that.
I still lean toward they're probably going to cancel it.
Yeah.
Now, let's stress that we have now moved from what this person said.
Yeah, this is speculation.
This is speculation on our behalf.
Yeah.
This is not what we were told. This is purely the speculation we are making based on our understanding of the industry
mm-hmm.
and perhaps some bits and pieces we've picked up in communication with other people. But yes, this is primarily derived speculation. This is not us being certain.
So what's our official calls here?
So I still say they're not going to have it. I think that Brodor and Wayne have the right of it, that they're waiting for the state to cancel it. For that exact reason, because Gen Con itself is a business with staff, mm-hmm. and if they have the legal excuse to keep money from people, that's their operating budget. Because if there's no Gen Con 2020, I mean, this is huge speculation, but what does that do for the chances of a Gen Con 2021 if they have to go bankrupt?
I'm going to interrupt you, Chad, because otherwise I don't get to talk.
I'll allow it.
You finally figured out how to be on this show.
Not a finally. I've been interrupting you bitches for a long time. I think for exactly that reason, actually, that last question, I think, is really telling to me. Unless the governor is the one who cancels it, I don't think they cancel, because I think they don't have probably the money at this point to refund everybody survive to the next
Wikipedia,
year.
There used to be more Gen Cons than this one, and they all went tits up.
Yeah, I was actually supposed to appear at Gen Con Oz, and then that one got canceled.
Yeah, so I think they have to hold it. I think unless it is canceled by the state, they have to hold it, because at least then they're getting some money in.
I'm violating quarantine.
Otherwise, yeah, I think we see Gen Con disappear.
Am I the only one that thought the first question in there? Well, I'm going to hold that thought. Let's get the other vote. So Chad, canceled or goes?
Okay, here's my prediction based on obviously nothing.
Right. It's just speculation.
This is my speculation.
What is your prediction?
My prediction is that they will hold Gen Con at the last possible moment, and then they'll push it back a bit if they even have to, but they will hold it, and hardly anyone will show up to it. I think that a lot of people will show up, but the kind of numbers they need to hold an international convention like that are not going to be there. I think that people are going to look at like, oh, well, once all this stuff is kind of blown over, can I travel to this place and go to a museum and go to a restaurant and have a vacation? Yeah, maybe I could do that. Maybe it'll blow over enough. Can I go to this place and go to a hall that is packed shoulder to shoulder with 30,000 people? Maybe I don't want to do that.
Right.
And that is going to be my prediction, is that Gen Con, from the organizer standpoint, their margins of their business are probably really low. They pay a lot of fees. They burn a lot of money. And their take in money, their profits and stuff, are not gigantic. Because in my opinion, and this is actually a criticism of Gen Con, but I don't run the business, is that I think they try to nickel and dime you for everything they can. I don't know. To me, the idea of paying for games is insane.
But that's always bothered me.
But again, I don't run Gen Con. I don't put any of my money on the line for that. So, you know, I'm talking out my ass. But I think that their margins are such that they don't have a giant war chest of funds, mm-hmm. and that they can afford to churn through it and, you know, have these contracts canceled and have possible legal ramifications, and there's probably a lot of money that's already been paid out. There's a lot of physical equipment that is involved in Gen Con that people don't think of. There's storage for that. People have to get paid. And I think that they pay for this year's Gen Con with last year's money, which means if this Gen Con doesn't happen, or it doesn't have enough people, that means there's no money for next year's Gen Con.
Welcome mm-hmm. to the gaming industry, man.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's how game stores work. I mean,
that's how restaurants work.
I can't say with certainty, but I mean, if you could put one of my testicles on the table with a meat cleaver, and I would gamble that nut that's how a lot of distributors work.
Well,
how
I tell
publishers
you though,
work. How
that's
yeah.
how farms work.
Yeah.
That's how capitalism works. To be honest with you, we think of money in very simple ways. We think of businesses in very simple ways too. Money comes in and I have expenses, and I take a little bit of this money and I put towards expenses, and I take a little bit of this money and I pay my employees, and I take a little bit of this money and I pay myself, and I take a little bit of this money and I put it in, you know, a war chest in case something happens. That is not how businesses work. That may be how your lemonade stand works as a kid, but it isn't how real businesses work. You borrow money. The entire thing is run on credit, where you're constantly cycling through incoming cash, burning out the cash you have, and then paying off debts, and then taking on new debts to pay your current expenses, to make money, to bring money in, to pay off the debts. And in that cycle of cash, you are hopefully, if everything's going well, pull out a profit.
Mm-hmm. Right, you're growing your war chest.
You're growing
at that point.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I can tell
I can
you
only think of one major company that does that. Only one. In terms of...
That does that?
Yes.
Because that's everybody who does
that. No. I mean the opposite side.
Oh, I see.
That are actually
the
cash positive.
Stand.
Yes. Yeah. They're actually cash positive and not run on credit, and that's Apple.
Yeah.
Which is one of the things that Apple is...
Because they keep all their money in Ireland, so they don't have to pay taxes.
Never mind. I was going to say something that ventured into the political
aspect. Well, the point being, though, that it is such an oddity mm-hmm. that's why Apple gets talked about for that trait yeah. all
Apple,
the time.
Walmart,
that
stuff
they
like
actually
that, yeah.
are cash positive.
Not Gen Con.
I would wager not. I don't know.
There are probably innumerable expenses involved with running
so
a con of that size.
So you're saying, yes, they try to go forward with it?
I believe that they will try and go forward with it, even if they have to run the damn thing in October. They're going to try and go forward with it. And I don't think, I'm not going to say no one would show up, but I think that the numbers of people that they need to show up to pay their creditors and to cover their expenses and to make Gen Con happen next year is not going to be enough.
Yeah, see, I am of the opinion myself, just as an individual, based on whom I've spoken to and what I've looked into and my own ignorance, is that I think Gen Con happens. Now, that's easy for me to say because I'm f-ing nobody. And if I'm wrong, no one cares.
You're the man with the beautiful hair.
What? if I'm right, it's kind of cool.
The bromance is so real.
If I'm wrong, it's not really, really a big deal. But I think it happens primarily for the reasons that Chad illustrated and that Laura illustrated. But I also think, just based on the auguries of the Divination Division of the Influence Foundation, that it also happens. Because the diviners of that department, of that division, if you will, they're very, very confident that Gen Con happens and that Gen Con is perceived as a success.
So
as a witch, I'm a little... little offended that I'm not employed in your augury department.
Oh, so, okay, so here's the deal. So here's the deal about the auguries in the divination division. So my chief person is...
Actually, Brodor.
Yeah.
From the Dekuma Kickstarter, the thing for building group templates and relationships using tarot cards.
Mm.
I backed at the level where I'm supposed to get a tarot reading from their like chief tarot lady.
Dude.
So I don't know that I really
my talents
have any
are wasted here.
We've never stopped you from do we have a negative episode where you give do readings for us all?
Yes.
Because I have a tarot deck downstairs.
I'm 100% on board with that. Okay. Although I need my tarot deck. Right?
That's fine. If you got your own mojo and a tarot deck, you can bring your own. But let's plan on that. We'll do a negative episode. Yes. Maybe a bonus episode. We'll see how profane it gets. Where we do a tarot reading. You do a tarot reading for everyone at the table. But Brodor, since I have that one coming at the moment, I don't have any particularly interesting questions. Do you want me to get a tarot reading on Gen Con?
Hell yeah, I do. Yes. That would be amazing. Yeah, that would be amazing.
So there's something though in those questions.
I feel like I need to do a tarot reading about Gen Con now.
Now,
it would not have crossed my
we'll
mind.
We'll save that for the show. And just as all sincere religious belief that is purely just for the show. But in those list of questions, let me...
Will you live without it? How bad will it be without it? And can we hold on to your money till next year?
Yeah, does that... Yeah. Okay, now once again, this is pure speculation, purely...
Number three really goes into my point.
Yeah, number three is what I'm thinking.
What in hermeneutics, there's a term called eisegesis. So exegesis means to read out of something. So you read somebody's text message and see what it says. Eisegesis is to read into. So you get the text message. You're like, you know, they said they're going to the grocery store, but I know they just bought groceries yesterday and there was this movie they really wanted to see, but I fart too much in the theater. So
he really does.
That's
duly noted.
That's what they're doing. They're seeing the new Batman movie without Bratman sitting next to them. But that's
Bratman. Oh my God.
See, I want eisegesis is like
how was that long car ride with him?
A Greek Orthodox Christian rapper, right? Eisegesis is like the gold teeth and the one gold tooth has a cross in it.
It's eisegesis, not eisegesis.
Potato.
I don't see how this changes anything.
I mean, okay, I guess that would be an interesting like Christian rapper name is eisegesis. Like it's kind of like Ice Cube or Ice Tea. Yeah.
Gnostic as f***.
Gnostic AF. Yes. I love it.
Well, then I would have to release a diss track called Use a Heretic.
But the cavalry's coming. The cavalry.
So, all right. But
you're all going to hell.
Let me stress that what I'm about to say is eisegetical. I am reading into the text, not reading out of it.
And, Word 316.
And this is and this is also speculative in nature. So I don't know what the intention was. But when you write an essay piece or something like that, you start off with your thesis and or a hook that gets the reader's attention and gets them thinking in a particular direction. So like, you know, what if you were walking down the street and you're a little old lady by yourself with your granddaughter who's only 4 and you have to go into a dark alley and know the police aren't there. You know, you're getting somebody thinking in a particular direction. It's tone setting. That first question of will your business continue to exist if Gen Con doesn't occur?
You need me.
Yeah, am I the only? No, I am being speculative as a speculum. But because there's are totally related concepts, but
I'm telling you, go to the crossroads, your little white lab coat, your speculum. I'm like, I just want one thing, Satan.
But I'm just saying, am I the only one where that feels, I don't know if it is, but that feels really leading and tone setting. Think how much it'll suck for you if Gen Con doesn't occur. Do you want us to happen?
Right.
They're testing the waters and seeing what. Well,
wants. They're making you think about your pain.
Oh, sure.
You're not thinking in that question. They're not talking because there's something that is blatantly missing from that list. A question of safety.
Do you feel safe?
Do you feel safe coming? would you prefer us to hold this off? Do you think it's a good idea for us to have 50 to 100,000 people in one location for those 3 or 4 days?
Yeah.
Notice that is nowhere in the list. These are all financial questions. The first one is about your pain, not theirs. Will you die for us? Or because
without
of
us.
Without
right.
us, yeah. The second one is maybe you won't shut your doors.
Will you be maimed
without
us? But
ain't it going to hurt? Yeah, I want you to put down a dollar amount of how much this is going to hurt you if we're not there. I mean, this is abused spouse stuff.
Wow. And, see, I'm much more optimistic about,
by the way,
caring about these people and their businesses.
Even if you've had a hard ass through the first two and say, you know what, it's not going to hurt me, or my business being hurt's better than people getting COVID and potentially dying.
I'll tell you, the person that I spoke to is like, and I'm in, man. I'll do it.
We then ended up on number three.
I'll do without it. I mean, they were saying they'll survive without Gen Con. I'm sorry, I misspoke.
But they're starting off with, will you die without us? No. Okay.
Will you die
with
us?
Question two is, will it really hurt you if we weren't there, even if it doesn't kill you? And then the third question is, okay, maybe we've made it to this far, but can we keep your money?
Right.
I mean, once again, where are any questions in here about health, about safety, about whether a person even feels comfortable? Hey, and talking with your fans, does it sound like they want Gen Con to happen or they're too afraid? I mean, I don't want to read into this too far. I don't want to tell you what they're thinking. I don't want to cast.
I'll tell you what they're thinking.
Negative.
They're thinking about money.
Yeah. Well, and you're probably right. And that's kind of my point.
You're definitely right.
But I really hate to start at a point of I'm going to assume the worst about someone. There's a concept called.
See, from my perspective, it doesn't have to be the worst. Like, yeah, they're thinking about money. That is not me throwing shade on them. That's not me downing them. They're business.
They're a business.
They're not charity.
They have to plan.
They're not a doctor. They're not my dad. They're not here for me. They're here for the bottom line. In fact, to be honest with you, the fact that they're asking those kind of questions means that they're not trying to snowball me.
Yeah.
They're not trying to, they're not asking me these questions, but it's just like, okay, well, I know where I stand. You're a ruthless company.
I
can work within those confines.
I don't see it as a ruthless company though. And I will, take it down a little bit.
Yeah, I think
there is a level of concern there, but I think that it plays into the fact that they have to be able to pay their bills.
Yes. Right.
And if they have people pulling out and then demanding money, or they have to cancel and have to start refunding all of this money, how do they get the capital to go forward with it in future years?
And what does that mean? You know, it's just like, oh, well, they can't make money, and oh, well, screw those fat cats, and it's a business, they're not a charity, and tough shit for them. Well, okay, I don't disagree, but that means what, doesn't Gen Con bring in like $70 million into Indy or something
that? That's a ton
of
money.
Yeah, don't they have a staff of like 20 people who work for them?
I don't have the exact figures in front of me, but I think $74 million.
Right.
Yeah. It is
not that I'm saying that Gen Con is too big to fail or anything like that. But
it is.
You know,
I mean,
they've got to look at
it.
They have to look at
a lot of people.
Let me tell you straight up that we know for a fact, this is not speculation. We know for a fact that conversation is occurring between Gen Con, both as an organization and as a concept. So there's conversations around Gen Con that are occurring at the Indianapolis mayoral office and at the Indiana governor's office.
Yeah. It's the second largest convention that the state holds.
I'm going to do something out of character. I'm going to be optimistic.
Whoa.
Yeah. So
are you feeling okay?
No, I'm way sober. It's terrible. So the issue is this, and I don't say this to pander toward Gen Con. I don't, but I think that the luxury that we have, the privilege that we have as gaming fans is that at most levels of our industry, from fandom to manufacturing, okay, not manufacturing, the Chinese give two shits about your toy soldiers, but people in this industry care about the industry. They care about the hobby. They get into the industry because they care about the hobby. I need to believe, because the industry is small and passionate and incestuous, that the people who run Gen Con do care about the hobby and they want to see the convention happen for the health of themselves and the health of those retailers, not to mention the hotels and the restaurants and the bars, sure, et cetera. Right. So I think Gen Con, I think they're looking at it from a position of how does this aid our industry going forward? Now, I don't want to break it down into a political red state, blue state thing, but it is.
Well, and
it just is.
I don't want to cast direct aspersions upon anyone that's involved in the Gen Con staff. There are a couple of them I know. Most of them I do not. And I will say that at least the ones that I know, insofar as I know them, these are not mustache twirling
right,
oil tycoons from the late 1800s. That's not what we're talking about here.
Right. It's not like they're the people that own large corporations that consume up huge swaths of the industry that don't care about the industry. They're not those people. Those people are out there. They're out there. I bet you those people give Gen Con money to run the convention, but that ain't Gen Con.
But I'm just going to say that I don't know if the intent of the email or their thought process, I'm not part of the Gen Con cabal, is somehow profoundly evil, right? That's not the image I want to cast, because I believe.
That's not what any of us are saying.
But I think it's more that I don't think this is the right call. Mm-hmm. And even if it is the right call, I think there's questions they need to be asking, even of their vendors, not just internally, that they're not asking, or at least we have not been told they're asking.
Right.
And I think that is something they ought to do. Because Gen Con, it is a huge part of our hobby. It is true that if Gen Con gets canceled, that will hurt, if not destroy, multiple game publishers. That will hurt local businesses in Indianapolis, which in turn is hurting people who work at those businesses or small business owners who run those businesses. So it's not as if death by COVID is the only concern on the table. You know, and I don't want to minimize that, but I get all these other concerns, and that's
why Gen Con can't cure COVID.
Right.
And, you know, they manage the things that they can manage. They're not a charity. They're a business, and they're managing their business. Now, I think that there are people who would say, oh, well, they need to cancel it because it will make COVID worse. Like, well, I mean, sure, if they hold it tomorrow, but maybe they're going to push it back. Maybe they're going to follow CDC guidelines. I don't know.
Yeah.
But they can't cure COVID. They can do their thing. They can stay in their lane, which is manage their business.
Well, right. It also makes sense to kind of, and we don't know, those conversations may be happening about safety and those types of things. But it also makes sense to hold off on those conversations because you have to assess what the interest level still is.
Right.
If your vendors are still going to show up.
Right.
Are the fans
going to show up? How many people are you actually going to have? And how does that then dictate how you adjust
things? Have any of you guys been to a hardware store in the last month?
No.
Yes.
So the hardware store, I mean, with the exception of... with the exception of social distancing and some masks, to the hardware store, that's the fucking place to be. Because it's open and it's big and you can wander and you can window shop. A lot of people go into the hardware store every time I go in or every time I drive past. It's a restaurant in a small municipality neighboring mine that said, we're going to open. They opened their doors. They announced to people that they were opening their doors. Place packed.
Packed.
Shoulder to shoulder.
Yep. Dangerous. No social distancing. Mm-hmm. Because people are stir crazy.
Yep.
I can't go to the game store. I can't go to my game table. I got to see other members of the tribe. I think that if Gen Con happens, I ain't sells it like a motherfucker.
Really?
Yeah. Like a motherfucker. Now, I think they limit the number of tickets available.
Yeah.
I think they slash the available number of attendees, but yeah, I think they sell out as quick as I come. I mean, fast.
And even...
I thought we weren't going vulgar.
I certainly am glad that even if I'm not a big fan of the specific questions they asked, that they are at least opening some line of communication. Mm-hmm. I have to give credit for that, that they are at least talking. Right now, I'm dealing with this from both sides, because while it is not a business and does not pay anyone's salary, we, of course, had to deal with this in terms of making the hard calls regarding Fear the Con.
Yeah.
Now, scale is totally
scale
different.
Scale is totally different. Yeah. And literally nobody except the people that get tipped, like we had people doing cooking and stuff in the past, nobody there makes money. I mean, at least we don't. We do Fear the Con at cost. But still, we had to make that call. You know, we had to say, look, we know there are people who have travel plans. We know there are people, it's nowhere near Gen Con's tens of thousands, but we know there are people that really like the convention and really look forward to it every year. You know, we get people literally as soon as we end one Fear the Con asking when the next one's going to be. And so I was on it from that side. Now, I will stress for us, it was easier because, first of all, Fear the Con was substantially earlier than Gen Con, which means whatever's going to happen with COVID, it's going to look a lot more like COVID does today than COVID will almost a month and a half, 2 months after that. But I'm on this from the other side. We are supposed to be a table vendor, I guess. We're not really vendors. We don't sell anything, but
we're selling something.
But we're, well, but we're, we have a table.
People are going to take a look at these gutters, man. Oh, they are on.
But
yes, the gutters.
Fear the Boot has a neighboring table with an artist friend of mine.
More like big sandbags.
At St. Louis Wizard World. And St. Louis Wizard World is, it's not Gen Con size, it's not Comic Con size, but it is a substantial convention. Mm-hmm. It is much closer in scale to Gen Con than we are. And is growing every year. And they have not called it off, nor have they made any communication of any kind with us. Despite the fact that, once again, we are paid vendors, and so is my artist friend, they have not made any form of communication. And that convention is like the first full weekend in June. Mm-hmm. It's like right at the top of June. So even as of this recording, it's like exactly a month away by the time the show releases. Be about 2-3 weeks away, and they have not asked us anything about, do we want the convention to happen? Will we attend? And if they're waiting on the state to make a call,
state already made the call.
Well, the state and, of course,
and the county.
I don't know if they're going to stick with it.
Well, yeah,
I think they have made a call that we actually opened 2 days ago on May 4th.
Yep,
and I don't know if they're going to stick with that. Mm-hmm. I also don't know, under their whole phased approach thing, where something like Wizard World would fall. Are they in one of the go events, or are they under the no-go events? Because there is a phased opening. Missouri was not a hard open.
Right.
I really wish they, I mean, I've even sent emails, as has Wayne, to many people on their staff, just saying, do you plan to have this convention? And they're very conspicuously not talking to anyone.
Yeah. Your money's gone.
Yeah, I was going to say, why? Your money's gone. Yeah, they spent your money.
Yeah, we're not
they
talking.
They paid off last year's Wizard World with your money.
Your money's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and that's why I'm thinking about, before this gets to any kind of call, just going ahead and pulling out of it.
Mm-hmm. Get your money back now.
Yeah, get my money back now. I need to talk to Wayne about that to see if he agrees with the call, because Wayne
was, what about your artist friend?
He assumed it was going to get canceled, but he's getting hit hard in the pocket because he makes a good amount of money off of commissions and off of Kickstarter projects, which he has literally a perfect track record with. He's an outstanding, both as an artist and just as an ethical business person.
You should link him in the show notes.
But I can't, it's not safe for work.
but it's hot.
Yeah, he's a great painter, but it's pinup art. It's, I mean, if anyone wants the name, I'm happy to give it to you. He's a great artist, but yeah, it's, maybe I'll link his Facebook page, because his Facebook page is safe for work. So I'll link that if you want to see who this artist is. But he assumed it was going to be called off, and so he has just simply planned to not be there. But he did tell me in no uncertain terms that the loss of the convention circuit, because keep in mind, the biggest con shut down. There's no Comic-Con this year.
Yeah. Right.
That is a much bigger deal, both to the convention, to the people that would be there, and to the community it's in than Gen Con is. Comic-Con is many times the size of Gen Con.
Right.
And by the way, their official attendee count is not accurate. It's literally about double that. I could explain to you why, but it'd be a huge tangent, and it's probably longer.
But remember, this was a
banter topic.
Banter topic.
Yeah.
But thanks, Brodo.
Sorry.
20 minutes.
I goddamn, you're
5 minutes of news.
I ruin everything.
15 minutes, it's, in and out.
I got distracted by the gutters. It's fine.
The sandbagging. Yeah. The French drain.
Yeah.
French drain. It's just a perforated sack of fat.
Brodo. Pump the brakes. Brodo. No. I know when you're in your zone. I saw that missile at Target. And I'm hitting the abort button. I'm blowing your ass up midair.
All right, I'm out. I'm done.
Yeah, I saw you dropping prior phases of the rocket there. And I'm like, nope.
I've been sitting on French drain for like 20 minutes.
But, Comic-Con closing, that was no small thing. Now, I don't know if the general attitudes about the disease in California versus Indiana or Missouri forced their hand and kept them from even being able to make a harder decision like what Gen Con's doing right now. Because I'm going to guess for them, it was not a question of we can do the con, but should we do it? Or will it be practical to do it? Or whatever. They weren't even going to get to that phase. Because I'm guessing that California probably said, you're not going to be able to do this con, period.
Right.
And so they aborted. They hit the ejection switch.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize that Gen Con is in a different position. But like I said, if for whatever critiques I have of this, I do appreciate the fact that Gen Con, at least to somebody, quite frankly, I wish they'd release a press statement to the general public on this.
Right.
Because quite frankly, your attendees' feelings and pocketbooks matter as much as your vendors. I realize it's not literally true in the dollars and cents way of it, but from the morals view of this, that's still somebody's time off and somebody's hard-earned money. And I think they ought to be communicated with as well in some fashion. I don't know if that's a survey thingy or how you do that, but...
Well, and it brings up an interesting...
But at least they're talking to somebody, because that's more than I can say for what Wizard World's doing right now.
Well, and you and I talked about this when we were at GAMMA a couple months ago, that one of the problems that our hobby industry has is that there is such an absence of information, it's worse than false information. I'd rather something come out and be wrong and have to be corrected than just radio silence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I completely agree, that's really, really the hard part, is the uncertainty.
Well, doubly so, if let's say it comes down to the wire, and for some reason Gen Con does not occur, and they're in a position where it's close enough to the con that the refund window's closed,
mm-hmm.
or it's for a reason where they can pull a legalistic thing and worm their way out of refunding money. I don't know if they'll do that. Let me stress, this is just me making up hypotheticals. Then that is hundreds of dollars gone from the pockets of people who were just stuck in a holding pattern because they didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I mean, I made a point when I dropped my blog post that I dropped this in the same day I dropped the blog post. I paid for my 4-day ticket and the fee to have my badge mailed to my house. So they were happy to take my money, but, you know, they're not crazy about telling me what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't think I'm going this year, even if it occurs.
Oh, I'm going even if it doesn't.
I mean, if it...
I'm serious.
If it did, well, I think it'd be a great opportunity to...
Yeah, no, I am absolutely serious.
Tell them that you're press, and I mean, I'll help you do this. See if you can schedule an appointment with the mayor.
Mm. And, that's a good call.
And say, hey...
God, you're so f***ing smart.
You know, I'm pressed for the gaming industry. And I'd like to talk to you about what this looks like from a mayoral standpoint.
Yeah, from the civic standpoint.
Let's see if I'm still press after this episode.
But, you know, like I said, I don't know. I at least appreciate the fact that Gen Con's talking somewhat. Because, yeah, this radio silence from so many conventions and even from Gen Con regarding the attending populace. I mean, I don't care what level of money we're talking about. The hard-earned money of an attendee is, to me, as important as that of Games Workshop is.
You know who did it right?
Other than us,
yeah. Opera Theater St. Louis. So Dawn and I, we go to musicals.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah?
I mean, talking about difference in scale, there are four f***ing people. Four. You, Dawn, and the other two people are the only people in St. Louis that are into opera.
You would be amazed.
No, my dad's into it.
I know well, people who are into opera.
You'd be amazed. You think you're an old guy? Go to opera. You're the youngest buck there. Let me tell you. It is great.
Yeah, I said my dad loves it. And, well, I mean, that's why the St. Louis Symphony is having to do a lot of video game music and movie soundtracks. Mm-hmm. Is because they want people to get interested in orchestral music, but they can't fill the seats like they used to with Mozart. And I think it's a shame, but that is the reality.
Yeah. So other than just, you know, an arts flex for Dawn and I, we have season tickets to Opera Theater St. Louis, right? And so their performances are this summer. They would not have happened yet. When this whole thing hit, at first, there was a lot of, well, nobody knows what is going on. All of a sudden, states started shutting down and actually globally, countries started shutting down and stuff. And then COVID came to Missouri. The director of Opera Theater St. Louis sent out communications via all the social media and emails to all the season ticket holders and to everybody. And he said that we cannot risk our performers and staff. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, COVID is a lung disease.
Yeah, it is a respiratory infection.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's at-risk people, and then there's people who, that's their careers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
who may also be at risk.
Who may also be at risk. Mm-hmm. And this
because they've got f***ing diabetes. There's a whole reason they say, Chad, the show's not over until the diabetic lady sings.
Right.
Yeah.
So this guy was like, now I will state that Opera Theater St. Louis is a nonprofit. But they do have a full-time staff. They don't have, like, people off the street singing opera. They pay money to have opera companies come in. They also have corporate donors who sponsor the arts and that sort of thing. And the director of Opera Theater St. Louis met with the corporate donors, basically the people with tons and tons of money. And they said, we want to pay all of the staff and all of the performers the money that they would be missing out. So we're going to do a challenge grant, basically, to say we need, I think it was like $1 million or something like that. I forget what the numbers were. I mean, it's a substantial amount of money, right? Mm-hmm. They're like, we are going to stake $500,000.
And it was weirdly stated across three octaves.
Right. So the
that's some highbrow shit right there. I mean, that is top hat comedy, right?
So Opera Theater St. Louis came to all the people at season tickets and all the ticket holders like myself and Dawn and said, this is the situation. This is what's going on. This is how many staff we have. This is how many performers we have. And this is what we want to do. This is how much money we have. And if you donate your ticket, basically you say that, you know, we're canceling the season. It's not going to happen. If you want, we will give you your money back. And it's a very easy process. You go to this website, you call this number, it will happen. That is not a problem. We ask you, as people who love the arts, to donate your tickets. Basically, not get the refund. 100% of the money in the ticket will go into this fund. And if it matches, all the performers and all the staff will receive their full pay. The director of the opera is not taking pay.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Dawn and I, we have Fox Theater. We see musicals. We have season tickets. Three of the shows, including Hamilton, got canceled. And they basically said, well, you have your money back if you want. We're going to try and roll stuff over to next year. I mean, you know, yeah, it sucked. It sucked for everybody. And I got my money back on that.
Mm-hmm.
Opera Theater St. Louis, they went above and beyond. And guess what?
They kept your money.
Dawn and I are now patrons of the arts. They actually
even bougie, more bougie than
before. Oh my God. I cannot wait till the revolution and we pull you out of your home.
They have like these, anybody can donate at any time, even before this. And they have all these donation levels and stuff. Dawn and I are going to appear in their, whether the booklets they hand out,
like the playbook
program. We are going to appear in the programs next year. We're going to get invited to
like a Kickstarter backer.
We're going to get invited to donor only soirees.
That's weird. Eyes wide shut. Right there.
We are patrons.
Yeah.
Believe me, Dawn and I are walking around with our coffee with our pinky out all morning.
I was saying, you've got the glasses with the stick on them. Right. You have to pull up over your eyes.
You ever sniff tartar powder off a tie? boy's wiener.
That was quite a mental picture.
They're also keeping the whole thing going to a certain extent by having performers do video cast where you can ask them questions and they'll sing and stuff like that. They had Leonard Slatkin, who's a famous conductor.
Conductor for a Seattle Symphony, yeah.
Yep. They had him on a cast and he gave a presentation and stuff. I mean, they did it right.
Yeah, Slatkin was amazing.
I just want to say I feel like a Neanderthal right now. I'm over here in my cave with my club.
We're simple creatures.
I like
base
music.
Desires and base
that
needs.
Is accurate.
Opera is wonderful. Opera is really wonderful. And if you want to get a taste of it, if you have Netflix, they have whole operas with subtitles. There are sword fights. There's pirates. There's fucking ghosts. Don Giovanni blew my fucking mind at the end. I mean, I want to spoil it for anybody.
Don't
I mean, it's only like a 700-year-old opera, but holy crap, I didn't know anything about the story, and I saw the end of it, and I was like, wow, this is interesting, good music. Oh, there's a little bit of slow part in the end where the woman is crying and stuff, and but then it picks up, and ah, here's some funny songs, and then the ending, and my jaw, there's a hole in my floor at home where my jaw went down into the basement, and it was amazing.
I'm judging you a little bit.
Don Giovanni is wonderful. I cannot watch La Boheme because it's too goddamn depressing. It is wonderful. I can't see Rent because it's the musical version of La Boheme. Tuset. Literally, the story is the main character dies of poverty. Like, she's dying. Mm-hmm. She gets with a rich dude. She's fine. She's like, but I love the poor guy. Gets with the poor guy. F***ing dies. I mean, it's really sad.
You are very passionate about the arts.
I am. I love opera. I love it.
Now, you're such a nerd. It's adorable.
Most other people, I would have tuned out. I can't pronounce Les Rabadabadou or whatever it is that we're into. Most people.
Most people. We're going to add that on Urban Dictionary. Les Bajababadou. But I'm just going to make up a sexual fetish.
Let me tell you. Most people, what would be replaying in my mind is just loop after loop of Peter Griffin saying, I like the money pit. But you, Chad, I actively listened.
In Carmen.
No, Chad has an enthusiasm that is,
yes.
It's like Pat's laugh. Because Pat's laugh was contagious. It didn't matter what the joke was. If it got Pat laughing, it got everybody laughing. Because Pat's laugh was just insanely, weirdly contagious. But Chad's that way with his enthusiasm that true. Like for a moment there, I almost thought I liked opera.
I was almost getting excited about it. Yeah.
That Chad clot just sort of passed out, and I'm like, no, I really don't. I love classical music. I'm a really big fan of, in particular, of like romantic era piano virtuosos. Right.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Chopin, Rachmaninoff, mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. In fact, I have this whole CD box right here is nothing but Arthur Rubinstein, who's mm-hmm. an incredibly good piano player. I won't use the other word, but he's an incredibly good piano player. And it's like his entire collected works of him playing nothing but Chopin. It's just like, dude, it's like 2 days of Chopin, but yeah, it's just opera doesn't work for me, but
I've honestly never tried. And with that level of enthusiasm, we'll see.
If anyone listening would like to give opera a shot. Now, you know, it's dense, it can be intimidating, and people think it's a bunch of old people, a lot of blah, 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 blah. If you want to give it a shot, check out Netflix, turn on the subtitles. You can, there's great stories. I recommend.
You don't have to f***ing read?
Yes. or not.
There
it's
are,
music.
Well, there are there, operas in English.
In English. Opera Theater St. Louis does all English.
Yeah. A lot of them are going to be in French, Italian, Spanish, even Latin.
And when you go see opera live and it's not in English, they have electric marquees that run the subtitles anyway. But I recommend, again, I understand that opera has a reputation for being too heavy, too dense, just for old people. I recommend getting on Netflix and watching Carmen. It's wonderful. It's a story about love and a really terrible romance about people who shouldn't be together. She has a line in one of her songs where she says, if I love you, but you don't love me, you better watch out. It wow. is great.
I made my butt pucker.
She should. The other one I would recommend is Deflatormouse.
If like you, from The Tick?
Well, he's named after the opera. So if you've ever seen one of the versions of Batman, they go see the opera, Deflatormouse, and it's like scary and spooky. I don't know what the f*** they were watching. Deflatormouse is a comedy, right? It's very funny. It's about rich people being funny. Go see it. It's very fun. So yeah, Carmen, Deflatormouse, and The Barber of Venice, I would say, because that one is also very funny.
What if I don't like comedy?
Then I would, well, Carmen's not a comedy. Carmen is a romantic tragedy. But it's not heavy.
So it's like the opera version of Romeo and Juliet?
I would recommend either Bill Burr's latest special on Netflix. If you don't like comedy, that might set you straight. Put you in your place a little. Or any of the recent stuff Dave Chappelle's been doing.
Put me in my place. Good luck.
I recommend The Money Pit. Some of Tom Hanks's best work. Goldie Hawn, delightful.
Or I could just go...
Well, it wasn't Goldie Hawn, though.
Rewatch Witcher. And just drool over Geralt, and it's fine.
That first fight against that cluster of human beings in that first episode. Sometimes I'll just watch that, just jack off, because it's so hot. Yeah. Oh my god!
Not gonna argue with you.
Talk about gutters,
right?
You know, and he's a gamer, right? Like he's been spending. I saw some stuff on.
Well, he's in a 40K. I mean,
the dude's painting. I mean, he's painting miniature.
And he was an Eldar. He's painting.
No, those are Custodes. They're Space Marine.
Oh, because they
they've got those weird helmets. Boy. Yeah,
I just saw
take Latin. Take that.
Because I just saw. Helmet.
Yeah.
And the helmet was.
And it's got that weird.
It was elongated, had like a ponytail.
Yeah, that's in the Stardust.
I thought that was an Eldar, because that's normally an Eldar look.
Yeah, they're like elite Space Marine guys. They have more D6s. That's pretty much that's it.
He's not even an Eldar guy. He's a
Space Marine guy.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say a Munchkin, but.
Barber of Seville. I said Barber of Venice. It's the Merchant of Venice Shakespeare play.
Yes.
Barber of Seville. Sorry. There are
bringing us back.
There
to
are
the
like three
stuff.
People
fine.
Who are furiously typing out an email to me.
Well, let's do this. Let's do a 40K opera. Then I'll fucking watch opera.
A space opera,
right? Like if they do a Horus Heresy opera.
Isn't that like
opera.
Repo?
Repo the genetic opera. I've seen it. It's amazing.
Okay. If you guys want.
I'm gonna disagree, Chad. If we're talking like trauma, like toxic event,
right.
Bad.
That.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. No.
All
agreed.
Right. So let me close this show out on a recommendation. If you want to get into musical entertainment, what you need to do is if you're in a state that has legalized marijuana in any way, shape or form, call your doctor and tell him that a trusted media figure has told you to watch the recent movie version of Cats and you need you need your trunk raw. And I guarantee you this doctor will write you a prescription that just says make Bob Marley sing. And you go take that, you get high as you can be and you get yourself a box of cereal, preferably Count Chocula.
Cap'n Crunch with the Crunch Berries, baby.
You can do, cook to taste here. But you sit down, I mean, just utterly blasted, and you watch the recent movie edition of Cats and see if you can find the uncensored human hand where they forgot to actually put the cat hand over. I think it was Judi Dench. And there you go. There's your entertainment. It's musical.
Do you know what the best thing to happen to me out of this whole COVID thing is?
You didn't see Cats?
One of the musicals that got canceled was Cats.
Chad, I am so sorry. A lot of people have suffered in COVID.
I have actually seen Cats, not the movie version. Like I've seen the version, the live version of Cats.
Mm-hmm.
I used to dance in high school. I danced when I was growing up. And, so I go to stuff like that for the dancing primarily. And
I've never seen Cats. I shit on it endlessly.
Mr. Mistopheles, his pirouetting is on point. I just got to say. But
I watched a few clips. I've never seen Cats all the way through. I watched a few clips.
The stage musical, not the horrible
stage
movie.
Musical.
And even by my standards of I don't like musicals to begin with, outside of The Lion King.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this was it was absolutely unbearable.
So Dawn and
I've heard it was wrong.
I don't like Andrew Lloyd Webber, and this is Andrew Lloyd Webber at rock bottom.
So Dawn and I's thing is, we don't like Cats, we don't like the music to it, but we've never seen it. And so this was our, we are going to go see it, so now we can shit on it from a position of authority.
That's fair.
But it got canceled.
Yeah, that...
Just appreciate the dancing, yeah, because the dancing takes a high level of athleticism.
The number of people...
And when you can do 37 pirouettes in a row, literally, because I can't
vomit, say
and not vomit and not fall over.
If you need any evidence that we live in what's called a just world, which doesn't mean the world is just, it's called just world theory. It's a bigger moral theory that I'm not going to bother to explain, but it means basically everything works out in the end.
Mm-hmm.
I really am sorry for the people that are suffering in various ways from COVID, health problems, dying, loss of job, whatever. My heart and my prayers go out to you. But I want you to understand, your suffering makes sense now. Because if it had not been for COVID, Cats would have occurred.
Yes.
People would have seen it.
I mean, it would have been a sold out 2 week.
And
long.
I'm not typically a moral utilitarian. I'm deontologically disposed on moral issues. But in this one case, I'm just going to say that COVID was the path of the least suffering for the fewest people.
Deontologic, that like deant word, like we could do a deant word thing and your whole rapper thing would be deontologic. Right, that's your new rapper name, and that's where our beef is going to come.
Okay.
In.
I really enjoy sitting across from Broder and like watching his face as he's getting. Like,
I'm so fucking stupid that you can actually
not.
You can
not
you can,
stupid.
You can see the 4 or 5. No,
your face is very expressive, and so it's like all of these like emotions as you're listening to Chad wax poetic about opera.
I tell you what, and this is going to
Broder. I say this as someone.
Shut up. Got it. Sorry.
Listen to you talk for hours. You're like an unfiltered cigarette.
Oh, God. You just made me so sexy.
In that, first of all, your biggest problem is you're unfiltered. But there is nothing inherently stupid about you. There's probably something stupid about the people that enjoy consuming you. And I put myself on that list.
That's amazing. Does that mean Chad's going to roll me up in his sleeve and take me home?
Ooh.
Maybe smack me against his hand.
He's not in that part of South County.
I'm sorry that the Gen Con thing became a whole episode. I mean, I'm not.
It's 15 minutes of banner. It's cool.
Yeah.
In and out.
That's a thing on Fear the Booth, though. That's not the first time that this has happened.
Let's make this certainly will not be the last.
This isn't the first thing that happened with Gen Con in that.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. So, all right. Once again, check the show notes. Links to a bunch of stuff. I don't even remember what they all were. I remember Fear of the Con was in there. My artist friend Lorenzo was in there. Yeah. So I think there was something else I was going to put in there.
Brodor's site.
Oh, Brodor's site. Yes. Specifically to his article on Gen Con. Yeah. If you want to get some other takes.
Goinfo.org.
But yes.
That sweet cherry is Dan. Dan's the only reason I have that. So.
Yeah. His original domain was a bit too mouthy. And so on a lark, I'm like, is goinfo.org, because he's the Influence Foundation. So what was the full name? But somehow I got
Info. I don't even remember. It was late. You had gone through a million permutations.
The Influence Foundation. That's how I got info. So
yeah, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning at a fucking diner. And we're going around. And then some old bro tried to take me home. It was awesome.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If I was, I mean, she was gnarled. But if I was single, I would have been like, I'll throw one in you. Whatever.
But put something other than my mind in the gutter. But once again, please do check the show notes for those links. And I don't know if we'll keep you guys posted as we learn anything, if we learn anything. Other than that, thank you guys for tuning in. Have a great week and great games. And we will catch you next time.
See ya.